This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
The Democrats and their convention.
Common sense tells you that Kamala Harris and Tim Walz can give us decency and respect.
It's the honor of my life to accept your nomination for Vice President of the United States.
Tim Walz had his night last night with the assist from Oprah. She was a surprise guest there in Chicago. We know what's happening tonight. Kamala Harris is going to speak, accepting the nomination officially. Biggest speech she's ever given. Let's get to the update live.
CBS News special report. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz extolled the virtues of Kamala Harris as he accepted the Democratic vice presidential nomination last night.
She has never hesitated to reach across that aisle if it meant improving your lives.
Harris will accept the nomination for the top spot on the party's ticket tonight in Chicago. What to expect? CBS News political contributor Ashley Etienne.
I think she's going to start with, you know, her first days, her first memories, being in that stroller, fighting and marching for the rights of all people. And that's her very ethos.
Republican vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance tells CBS's Nora O'Donnell that Harris... Walz's team has it all wrong.
They're attacking Donald Trump and the people who voted for him. They're saying that Donald Trump dislikes people because of skin color, when in reality, Donald Trump dislikes Kamala Harris's policies.
Donald Trump and J.D. Vance have a stop scheduled at the border in Arizona today. CBS News special report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Former President Trump picked up the phone, called into Fox and Friends this morning after he's been the target of criticism during the Democratic National Convention. He went on the attack against Vice President Kamala Harris and slammed California.
Everything she touched turned bad. California turned bad. San Francisco, you can't walk into San Francisco. You barely can go into California anymore. People, it's a state that's in terrible, terrible crime trouble and every other form of trouble, monetary trouble. It's got nothing. Drugs all over the place. You go into Los Angeles, you can't walk down the streets. It's a shame between Gavin Newsom, but it was really more Kamala because she was your district attorney in San Francisco.
And he again denied any knowing anything about the Project 2025, but despite the fact that many people who worked in the Trump administration helped come up with the plan.
Well, homeless cleanup in L.A. today, Dockweiler Beach. Authorities moving in, moving the homeless out. Playa del Rey residents there say the camp's been growing for months. John Baird is out there on Dockweiler Beach. John?
Some of the people camping on the beach overnight are already cleaning things up, moving their stuff around the cleanup. This one was organized by L.A. City Councilwoman Tracy Park, who has been really active in trying to get homeless camps cleared out in her district. But we don't know if this is actually a case of them moving people completely out or just cleaning up the areas. I just talked to a homeless woman who was waking up this morning.
From as far as I know, we got to move our stuff off of the sand and they clean up. And then after they're done cleaning up, we come back. So I don't know, because shouldn't they be giving us somewhere to go or helping us go somewhere? They did it with so many others.
So you're hoping they come through with services?
If possible, yeah, that would be great. Then we wouldn't have to be out here. But
she tells me that as far as she knows, this is just a cleanup effort. And she says if they move them out, then they just have to go over, then move to someplace else and start the whole thing all over again. So, again, the cleanup crews are here by Lifeguard Tower 54 at Dockweiler Beach. I have a copy of the notice that says that authorities will confiscate stuff that's left here. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Thanks, John. Governor Gavin Newsom is not giving one of L.A. County's most exclusive zip codes a pass for allegedly violating a state housing law. The Housing and Community Development Department expected to send a notice of violation to Beverly Hills today, claiming that the city broke the law by denying a developer's permit to build an apartment building. Politico got a copy of the letter exclusively, which says the city council should reverse its decision and direct city staff to process the project without further delay. It does threaten litigation as well if Beverly Hills does not comply. Newsom told residents who complain it would hurt their quality of life. Listen, we can't solve homelessness without addressing the housing shortage. Now is a time to build more housing, not cave to the demands of NIMBYs, which is not in my backyard. We have reached out to the city for comments.
20 minutes of nonstop news presented by theloanexchange.com for all your home loan needs.
It is the fourth and final day of the Democratic National Convention. Last night, Tim Walz addressed the crowd in his acceptance speech. Tonight, it is Vice President Kamala Harris's turn. We talked with reporter Pat Loeb, who's in Chicago covering the DNC.
Tim Walz last night, Harris tonight. These are the introductions, right? Because as familiar as we may be with her here, because California, most people don't pay that much attention to whoever the sitting vice president is, and now she's the nominee.
Right, and they've been making an effort all week to get voters acquainted with her. They've gone all the way back into her childhood to where she stood up to a bully and got hit in the head with a rock for standing up. And of course, they've gone all over her record as a prosecutor in San Francisco, state attorney general. They've been showing clips from her in the Senate, grilling Brett Kavanaugh in his Supreme Court confirmation hearing. So they are trying to not only give people a feeling for where she comes from and who she is as a person, but also her record in the public life.
What are you hearing from the delegates about what they're hoping to hear from her tonight?
These delegates are so jazzed. She could just come on stage and smile, and I think that that would be enough for the delegates.
Just wave
honestly.
And smile, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Very good.
A lot of people have talked about this. I think I've talked about it before. The energy in the room, everyone is so positive about this nomination. And, you know, it only happened a month ago. So she has some ground to make up in a way. But on the other hand, you know, novelty is always appealing to people. So, I think that whatever she says, people will think that it's wonderful and joyful. That's the other kind of signature line that the party is rolling out about her, the joy that she brings to this process.
Okay, you brought up the word novelty, which made me think. This is just kind of a fun question. There were all kinds of, like, Trump merch at the Republican National Convention, including, like, $600 gold shoes. So what's the Harris merch looking like?
The Harris merch is much more modest. Lots of pins, lots of T-shirts, taking aim at Donald Trump. I've seen a couple people in T-shirts that say voting is my black job. And that's the kind of thing. They were giving out for free posters of the Shepherd Fairey treatment of Kamala Harris. He did the famous hope poster for Barack Obama. He's now done one for Vice President Harris that says forward.
Pat Loeb there at the DNC in Chicago. All right, how you feeling about AI? Has it started working its way into your office yet? Got you a little bit freaked out, adding some stress. And some scientists had a bad day, and they tried to figure out why. So that's when 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
The push continues for California schools to ban smartphone use by students on campus. More on that from Chris Edens.
Last week, Governor Newsom urged districts to act now and adopt restrictions on smartphone use, reminding them of a 2019 law, giving them the authority to do so. Sword Charter Academy in San Bernardino is starting the second year of its smartphone ban. Principal Tricia Lancaster says it's even making a difference during recess.
Yeah, you actually see kids playing basketball and four square and jump rope and things that were disappearing at recess time, to see kids not actually being active at recess, when that is the whole purpose of a recess, is to get their little wiggles out and get rid of some of the energy so they can go back into the classroom and learn. And our kids weren't doing that. They were standing around in circles. They were sitting on the benches. They were not talking to anyone, not engaging with anyone. Yes, there's been a difference, and there's more engagement on the playground at recess time.
SOAR is an elementary and middle school in San Bernardino with mostly low-income students. I'm Chris Sedens, KNX News 97.1 FM.
When the AI comes, is it going to make your job easier? Is it going to take your job? Is it going to stress you out and make you want to quit? Here's Pete Demetrio. He's got a new survey.
The report released by Upwork Research Institute showed 77% of employees involved with AI say it only adds to their workload, 23% saying they have to devote more of their time learning how to use the systems than being productive. Research Director Kelly Monahan says the question workers want to know and isn't being answered is how AI will change the nature of their work. She uses herself as an example.
How is AI going to actually transform the way I survey people? Are we going to be taking surveys in the same way? Will people want to actually converse with them? And I think that's the kind of conversations that employees are looking for, as opposed to just that technical skilling that may be taking place. Instead, it's much more of, how does my work change? And what is the new value I can drive from these new tools?
They say unless employers start answering those questions, make the changes, survey projects both a higher level of burnout and, in the long run, more people resigning because of the demands to work with the AI on the job they're already doing.
There is a nursing home in Mission Hills, and its license could be at risk after it was found responsible for the deaths of two residents in less than 3 months. The LA Times reports state public health investigators discovered violations that were a substantial factor in those deaths. A woman known for being at risk of choking on food died in the hospital after she stopped breathing during a meal. That happened back in March. And then in June, a second woman died after she fell from a lifting device. Both times, staff not present. The nursing home was cited, fined $120,000 for each of those violations. The nursing facility says it's going to appeal.
21-year-old man from Chile arrested at LAX right after stepping off the plane. Art Sanders says they suspect him of trying to meet a 14-year-old girl that he met online.
Detectives say he even booked a hotel room near the girl's Glendora home. He was planning to meet her after a six-month manipulation through multiple online gaming platforms. Glendora detectives were able to confirm the man's travel plans to California. He was taken into custody by Glendora police and Homeland Security investigators without incident and booked on suspicion of multiple offenses related to child exploitation and the production of child pornography. I'm Art Sanders, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Canada's two major freight railroads are closed after union contract negotiations stalled. Greg DeYoung is an associate professor of operations management at Southern Illinois University. He says if the strike lingers on, it could impact the U.S. auto industry.
Because of the U.S., Canada, and Mexico collaboration really on autos, much of the auto parts, auto finished autos and other components are moving via rail across that supply chain, really across all of North America.
Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau urged both sides to reach a deal, but he's been reluctant to force them into arbitration because he doesn't want to offend the Teamsters Canada Rail Conference and other unions. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz accepted the vice presidential nomination last night on night three of the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. He made several references to his time as a teacher and a high school football coach while also criticizing former President Donald Trump. We talked to Coastal Carolina University political science professor Justin Vaughn about the speech.
I was talking to somebody yesterday before this speech, and they were saying, I don't know, he seems kind of goofy. And I said, that's the point. They picked him for the dad vibes, the dad from the Midwest. But when he needs to, he does that Midwestern nice thing where there's still a punch in there, but he says it with a smile. So did he pull all that off last night?
Yeah, I think he did. And, you know, I'm a native Midwesterner, so I think I have some clout on that answer. I was impressed not just by the speech, but just the entire stage management of his introduction to more of America, you know, from John Mellencamp kind of, you know, playing while he was coming out on stage, you know, some really kind of memorable features of his family. You had signs about his coach background everywhere, you know, former players from Mankato West High School on stage. You know, it was this kind of 360-degree effort to sell Walz as this all-American, folksy Midwestern coach who, as you mentioned, can also, you know, throw a punch to his partisan opponents if need be.
Does it matter, though, the VP pick and him in there? I mean, because he wears a camo hat and jokes about the flannel that his wife doesn't like and goes hunting and knows about guns, does that mean I'm voting for her as president because he does all those things?
I mean, that's a great point. At the end of the day, people are voting for Trump or Harris or against Trump or Harris. Historically, the vice presidential nominee at best makes a marginal positive impact, more likely can hurt the candidate. You know, now what it can do is change a narrative, and it can maybe alleviate some anxiety. So perhaps there are some, you know, independent or maybe, you know, slightly left-leaning moderates in the heartland who might feel, you know, a few degrees more comfortable voting for a Bay Area Democrat now. But by and large, I think the vice presidential running mate is the same mission as the vice president himself or herself, which is do no harm.
We had both Clinton and Obama up there saying the same thing, and people are starting to point this out. Meet the undecided voters where they are and treat them with respect. Instead of just saying, look at the joy in the room, we've got this thing. They know that there's a blind spot out there, and there are people who are going to need convincing. Maybe those people you were talking about who could lean a little bit, but they haven't leaned yet.
That's right. And, you know, a lot of the voters we're still talking about a small number of Americans, but a lot of the folks who are up for grabs that maybe were totally checked out when it was Trump versus Biden are still not, you know, prototypical Democratic voters, right? They have concerns that are maybe not the same as the priorities of the Democratic establishment. And if you want to get those folks to vote for you, you've got to find the things they care about and talk about them in ways that those issues in ways that resonate.
Are some of those double haters that were just like, I don't like Trump and I don't like Biden. So they're hoping that they still don't like Trump.
Yeah, they still don't like Trump. And there's nobody in America, I think, at this point who doesn't know how they feel about Trump. But they are, you know, many of them are saying, oh, well, I don't even know who Kamala Harris is. And I certainly don't know who Tim Walz is. You know, let me give this a shot. But they're not going to, you know, sign on to vote because of this, you know, optimism that we saw all over the place at the DNC so far. They're going to sign on to vote by the answer of one simple question, which is, what is this person as president going to do for me?
That is Coastal Carolina University political science professor Justin Vaughn.